Thank you, worship team. This morning, some of you have struggled to respond to the gospel, to respond to what Jesus has done for you on the cross, and applying it to your lives on a daily basis. But what if God's heart is for you to hear the good news and then respond to it? What if that's God's heart? To listen to it and apply it and take action when we've received it. And if we know it to be true, do we obey God in it? Are we keeping Jesus to the inside, or is Jesus kind of to the outside in our lives? So because you've heard, have you responded? Because you've heard, have you responded? See, do we understand the significance of the cross? That God's heart is for us to have a relationship with him, to have fellowship with him, to be in relationship that's intimate, and for us to respond and not just to hear it. See, Good Friday is it's a very special day. It's a day where we celebrate what Jesus has done for us, right? We reflect on what he has accomplished for us, how he was obedient to the Father to go to the cross for us, how he loved us enough to go to the cross and pay that price for us, right? That's what Easter, Good Friday is about. We reflect on this message of the cross, how Jesus laid down his life for us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing good news? I think it's incredible. So what Jesus has done for us causes us to respond in belief and obedience. Because we've heard, have you responded? Because you've believed, have you responded? So we're going to be reading out of Romans 1:1-7. So what I found interesting when I was looking into Romans is that Romans wasn't even a church that Paul started or began. It was actually a church that scholars believe that was started from Pentecost when Peter was preaching to the crowds. That those Jews that believed actually took the message and they brought it back to Rome and started this church. And when I was studying this, I'm like, this is fascinating. I would have never thought that. Paul wrote Romans near the end of the third missionary journey, AD 56 or 57, depends. Just a few years before he was imprisoned when he wrote the epistles. So I found that just fascinating. So with that, let's read Romans 1:1-7. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and to send out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is going to be our main passage, verse 5. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and the authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. But you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. So here we see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was prophesied before time in the Holy Scriptures, right? He was promised to come. And because of it, we as Gentiles have had the privilege to have a relationship with Jesus. So again, our main passage is going to be in verse 5. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and the authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. So this morning we're going to cover three points. God promised so that and belonging to Jesus. So the first one, God promised. So God promised through the prophets that there was going to be a coming Messiah, right? Have you guys ever been promised something? I don't know, maybe a promise ring, right? When you're interested, you want to promise that you're going to keep that relationship. You give them the promise ring, right? Or maybe somebody's promised you that they would do something for you, right? Hey, it's like, Brayden, I promise I'll show up at this time or this place. And what happens when that promise is made? You actually believe that it's going to happen, right? You kind of believe without wavering that that guy is going to keep his promise. See, that's the beauty of God promising that Jesus would come, is that the Jews actually believed that it would happen. And so they were always anticipating for Jesus to come, this Redeemer to come. So God promised it. Amazing. Verse 3. The good news is about his son. Guys, church, this good news that we have is about Jesus. It's about Jesus coming to die on a cross for us. That's what we celebrate on Good Friday. And Jesus was shown to be the Son of God by the resurrection, right? So through the resurrection, it was proof that who Jesus was, he was truly God because he resurrected. It was like a stamp. And I love how verse 4 puts it at the end. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's our Savior. That's the good news. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is that Redeemer. That is the one that was promised to us. Moving on to verse 5. So that. And I just want to read this passage one more time because I really want to get us into it. So through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell the Gentiles, or you could say in some different translations, it would say all nations, everywhere, what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. So this whole idea of, at the beginning of this passage, talking about through Christ. So Paul was coming, it was writing this letter, and he's talking about, you know, sharing the gospel to the Gentiles, and he's saying, hey, I'm doing it through Christ. This is how I'm going about it. It's like Paul being in Christ and a part of Christ, and this is happening through Paul in Christ. So it's through Jesus, through what Jesus has done in Paul, he was sharing this good news. This was a mission that was being empowered by Jesus. This was a mission that was about Jesus. This was about going out and spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. This was like Jesus was the channel wherewith Paul would go and he would share this gospel. He would share this good news. He was doing it through this channel of Christ. Through Christ, he was going and telling the Gentiles everywhere what God had done for them. So here's Paul. He's desiring for us to understand that, hey, this good news was for all. And he wanted them to go and share the gospel with all, to share what Jesus had done for them on the cross and how this he had purchased their lives and he had saved them from sin and given them eternal life through him. So here's Paul. He was proclaiming everywhere what God had done for them, what God had done for all people, the Gentiles, including the Jews. And get this, so that, and I want us to really remember that, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. So this whole thing of so that, it's like with intention, right? This gospel is going out with an intention, with an aim, right? It wasn't just, Paul wasn't going out and preaching the gospel for there to be no change, for there to be no heart change or transformation or life change. No, Paul had an intention, right? He was aiming that this gospel, when he preached it, that the power of God would be poured out and that there would be a response to it. This walk of faith isn't just about accepting the cross, but it's surrendering our lives to it, wholeheartedly, giving ourselves to it, giving all of our life to it, surrendering our lives to Him and living in obedience to God's word. So because you've heard, have you responded? So I'm just going to go into a little bit about believing and obeying. So believing something is simply believing that it's a true, or simply considering it to be true or fact, right? So when you believe something, you truly consider it to be true, and you consider it to be fact. So when each one of us goes to the kitchen cupboard and grabs a cup, right, we just go, we grab the cup, we kind of just glance at it a little bit, you know, make sure that it's whole, doesn't have a hole in it, right? And then we go out and we believe that when we pour something into that cup, it's going to hold the water, right? We kind of do this naturally. Every day we go to the cup, we grab a cup, we take a kind of quick glance, and we believe that when we pour water in it, it's going to hold water. Guys, that's the same way that God wants us to believe Him. He's given us His word. He's given us true fact, inspired word of God, and He wants us to read it and believe it to be true in fact and respond to it. So to believe that God's word is inspired, to truly believe that He is who He says He is, to believe that that you have a need for the gospel. So we need to believe that true to be true and to be fact. Guys, it's not something we just brush over. This is not something we just take lightly. He wants us to believe that God's word is true and it is fact and that we could apply our lives to it. Incredibly important. When I believe that I'm going to truly go to heaven because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross, I should live that way, right? When you truly believe that what Jesus has done for you on the cross, that He's purchased you, that you invited you into His family, we should live that way. Our lives should reflect that. Touching on obeying. Obeying is simply doing what is asked of you. So when somebody asks you to obey you, they're simply saying, hey, do what I ask you to do, right? If your boss goes up to you and says, hey, can you sweep the floors? Can you take out the garbage? You know, can you change the oil on the truck? What do you do? What's your response? No, I'm not going to do that. I don't feel like it right now. No, that's not the response, right? The response should that we obey Him. We do what is asked of us. And we go and take out the garbage, and we go and sweep the floor, and we go do the oil change, right? That's obeying your boss. And I love how when I was studying this word obey was translated actually in many different ways, or different words were used depending on, and here are the few of them. One is follow, or to keep, or to listen, or to observe, or to heed. And if you actually look at this a little closer, each one of these is like an action, right? So obeying is an action. It's something that you're going forward. It's an action to follow. It's an action to keep. It's an action to listen, to observe, or to heed. So when he's talking about obeying, it's an action. It's to keep what is commanded of us. It's like if you had the opportunity to fly into space and your commander-in-chief is telling you what to do and what is required of you for a successful mission. What do? You listen. And you obey what that commander-in-chief is telling you to do. Because you know if you don't, what is going to be the result? It may not be successful. You may crash because you haven't listened to the commander-in-chief of what to do to make this mission into space successful. It's often the difference between success and failure. I'm going to read a little bit of Deuteronomy. I find Deuteronomy is such a powerful chapter when it comes to obedience to God and how God called the Israelites to obedience. Chapter 11. I'm just going to read through. I'm going to kind of be skipping a bit just so because I can't read the whole passage. But I want us to hear the heart here from God. Therefore, be careful to obey every command I'm giving you today, so you may have strength to go in and take over the land you are about to enter. So that you may have strength to go in. Jumping down to verse 13. If you carefully obey all the commands I'm giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and late rains, so you can bring in your harvests of grain, new wine and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture lands for your livestock, and you yourselves will have all you want to eat. Jumping down to verse 18. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them where you are at home, when you are at home, and when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you get up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 22. Be careful to obey all these commands I'm giving you. Show to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. God, here we see through this passage, God's heart is for us to obey. And this obeying isn't about, it's actually to our success. When we're obedient to God, it's to our success. It's for our benefit. Guys, when we are obedient to God, it's going to be the best life that you've ever lived here on earth. Because he knows what is best for us. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. Obey my commandments. Heed my commandments. So by believing and obeying, we bring glory to God. When we believe God, when we obey God with our lives, that brings glory to God. So why will it reflect the glory of God? So why does believing and obeying glorify God? Because we're going to be living according to his word. Because we're going to be reflecting the character of Jesus. We'll be confident in who we are in Christ. And through that, we bring glory to God by faith in him through our lives. Going on to belonging to Jesus. Verses 6 and 7, back to Romans. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to his own holy people, to be his own holy people. So as I was reading this and I was resting in this and this whole word belong just was really resonating in my heart. Guys, it's a belonging to a family. This idea of settling in and it being a safe place. This idea of being wanted. You hear that? Like belonging to God. This idea of being wanted to be cared for and to be loved. For us to belong to Jesus. God desires for us to belong to Him. And to be loved by God. Guys, this is the God of the universe. This is the Creator God. The God that was willing to send Jesus down to earth to die on the cross for us. This is the God that loves us. The God that is full of mercy and grace and forgiveness. We are loved by this God. This God that was willing to send Jesus to die so that our sins could be erased, that our sins could be washed, and we could be made new, that we'd be a new creation. This is the God that loves us. What a powerful truth. And I love how he goes on. And are called to be his own holy people. To be called his own holy people. This idea of being called and invited and being drawn in to his family. To be set apart, church. I want us to get this. Because we're supposed to be different than the world. We're supposed to be glorifying Christ in our lives and what we do and where we are and what we say. He wants us to be set apart. He wants to be holy, different, so that we would truly reflect Jesus to the world. He's saying, hey, I want to make a people that is holy and is going to walk with my commands to glorify God, to be a reflection to the world of who he is. And we're invited into that family to be his own holy people. As the gold is refined with great heat to separate the good from the bad. God has called us to be separate for his kingdom, to be holy and live a life worthy of the calling that he has for us in and through Christ, in and through what Jesus has done for us. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. He's called us to live a holy life. He's called us into to be his own holy people. Guys, I want us to get that. That's special. That's powerful. That should mean something to you in your heart. To be his own special people, to be his holy people. So with that being said, because you've heard, have you responded? Because you've heard the gospel, have you responded? Have you heard the message of Jesus and responded to it with your life? Do you see the invitation that God is extending to each one of us here this morning to have a deep, intimate relationship with him? The opportunity to be a holy people, a people that are set apart, different, that reflect Jesus. So are we by faith believing and obeying God's word? And this gets a little bit more personal. Maybe there's something in your life that you know God's asking of you. So maybe there's something in your life that you know God's asking of you, and you've been putting it aside or trying to ignore it. Maybe God's trying to speak to you. Maybe God's trying to pull you in, and he desires more from you. Maybe you're like, nah, God, I just want to kind of keep you to the outside. Maybe you're trying to ignore it. Maybe there's something in your life that he wants you to believe in more in, or to obey him with your life. And whatever it may be, Maybe you're struggling to believe this morning in who God says you are. He wants you to believe and trust in the truth. He wants you to believe and obey him. He wants you to believe who you are in Christ. Your new identity. Let's make a choice or decision today to believe, to obey him with our lives. Today, guys. Let's make that choice and decision today to live for him, to obey him, to believe him. So maybe you're asking yourself, why does this all even matter? Let's look back at the text in Romans for a brief moment. So here at first glance, we were the chosen people of God to get the good news. Right? The Jews thought this good news, this Redeemer, was just for them. But God opened the door for the Gentiles. For all of us. All nations. That's why it matters. Because God values each one of us. He values you. He wants a relationship with each one of us. This life lived in belief and obedience to the Almighty God will be the best life you're ever going to live. So because you've heard, have you responded? Paul counted it a privilege to share the gospel with the Gentiles and to share with them everything Jesus has done for them. Paul counted it a privilege. So because you've heard, have you responded? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before your throne in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you so much for each heart that is here this morning, God. Father, you know where each one of them is in their walk with you. But Father, you gave us the gospel. You gave us the good news, Lord, that we would respond to it. And so, Father, I pray for each heart that is thinking and that is pondering the truth and how this applies to them. Father, would you help them? Would you fill them with the Holy Spirit and give them grace and courage, Lord, to walk out of this place and to trust you more, to believe you more, and to give their lives to obedience to your word, Father. And Lord, I just pray that this season of Easter and of Good Friday, Lord, it would be a joyful time to reflect. And Lord, as they go out and we go through the doors, Lord, I pray that you give each one joy as they reflect on what you have done for them on the cross. And we just pray this all in the precious and most holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. You're all dismissed. Have a happy Easter.